Spectrum Business works with small businesses nationwide, so we know that running your own business means doing it all. Marketing, sales, inventory, customer service, and more. Spectrum One for Business helps you keep it all connected for just $49.99 a month. Get fast, reliable internet, advanced Wi-Fi with Security Shield, and a free mobile line for one low price. Stay connected and do it all with Spectrum One for Business. Only $49.99 a month. Go to spectrum.com/business to learn more. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Prepare for Big News Wednesday. Welcome everyone to another day here at the Damage Report. I'm John Arola. She is Yasmin Aliyah Khan. Yes, always glad to have you here. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Happy to be back.
It's awesome to have you here. JR is still out on vacation, so it seems appropriate that you would take his spot and hold up the mantle of Big News Wednesday. So thank you.
I'm here for it.
100%. And we do have a lot of big news to talk about, including big international news, which we'll be talking about here, not talking about any other stuff for. But anyway, we got big stories that we're going to be breaking down in the aftermath when it comes to both Afghanistan as well as Sweden. Just some free speech debate that we need to get into about a particular story. But a lot more besides that. We teased on the show yesterday that we're going to talk about what some men are doing to alleviate their concerns about their masculinity when it comes to their physical form. And we're gonna do that today. The specific details are spine chilling, I think might be the word. That'll be coming up in the aftermath as well. And I say all of this to remind those of you watching the linear platforms and listening on the podcast that there is a lot more show that you might be missing out on. So head to youtube.com/thedamageport and you can watch that live or see the videos afterward. In the first hour, lots to talk about too. Some attacks against Kamala Harris, attacks in general against women in politics coming from women in politics, always fascinating. We'll have that for you. More evidence that Ron DeSantis just doesn't have it. He is not going to be able to take out Donald Trump. He was given a great opportunity, and no, he's just not going to. And I'm going to be talking at the close of this first hour about the beach. I believe that there should be a complete and total shutdown of beaches until we figure out what the hell is going on. I don't know if you guys have been following the news, but it's getting wild out there. We're gonna be breaking it down. Now, in advance of all that, please hit the like button, share the stream so people know we're live, they can come hang out, and you can send Yasmi comments, tweets, super chats, and all that, and we'll respond as we go. But with all that said, ready to start the show?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Okay, let's do it. Let's start. You seem ready. I'm ready as well. So with that, let's do it.
Are there any other recordings that we should be concerned of?
I don't know of any recordings that you should be concerned with, because I don't do things wrong. I do things right. I'm a legitimate person.
I find that very convincing and very normal. It's the sort of thing that a regular person says. I'm a legitimate person. I'm not AI or a deep fake at all. I've never bought into the conspiracy theories about robot politicians or clones or lizard men, but if they did exist, I feel like they'd make slip ups like that every once in a while. Anyway, no other recordings, even though he denied that the recording that we saw yesterday was true. So not sure how much credibility he has. But in that interview, Donald Trump didn't just say weird stuff. He also rolled out sort of his new explanation as to what was going on in that taped conversation. Let's listen to it and see if we buy it.
You're not concerned then with your own voice on those recordings?
My voice was fine. What did I say wrong on those recordings? I didn't even see the recording. All I know is I did nothing wrong. We had a lot of papers, stacked up. Mm-hmm. In fact, you could hear the rustle of the paper, and nobody said I did anything wrong.
There's a lot there, yes. What do you think?
It reminds me of like the writer's strike. It feels like his writers went on vacation and this was the best that they could come up with. You know what this reminds me of actually? This triggers me very similarly to the way that the last few seasons of Game of Thrones used to trigger me. Because the first few seasons were so good that we had to be better viewers, right? We had to, you know, pay attention to all the characters. We had to think like them. We had to, you know, become political strategists, all these things. But then by the end of the season, you know, Daenerys just forgets about the Iron Army. And we're just like, okay, that was the laziest excuse. That was the laziest writing out of all of it. It's the same feeling that I'm getting here now. What we're seeing, like this was all so predictable. We knew what he was gonna say and we knew it wasn't gonna make any sense. And we knew it was gonna just be boring and almost insulting to anyone who really still believes in this guy.
Yeah, 100%. I'm gonna not get drawn into a defense of the final seasons of Game of Thrones. I agree with you about that particular plot point. So
okay.
But there will be peace between us for now. But anyway, someone in the chat was like, was that generated by ChudGPT? Yeah, that was not convincing. And I look, this is the issue with playing to your fan base. He doesn't need to be more convincing. He doesn't need to do better because they have no ability to discern good from bad. And so he will sink to the lowest common denominator, which is a person wearing a red hat. I'm gonna quickly run through the many things that he fired out there, like an automatic weapon. My voice was fine. The issue isn't that we thought your voice cracked, buddy. It wasn't that you were slurring your words. It's the things that you said. I didn't even see the recordings. I got no problem with that. Hey, wait a second. You can't see a recording. It's just audio. He almost got me. He's a wily one. What are you talking about? You didn't listen to it? You didn't listen? We're supposed to buy that? First of all, we don't buy that because 5 seconds later you say you can hear the rustling of papers. So clearly you listened to the recording, but we had a lot of papers. You heard papers. How is that supposed to be a response to the claim that you were holding up a classified document that you stole from the US government? Yeah, no, we know that you had a lot of papers. The concern is that some of them weren't supposed to be there because they weren't supposed to be yours. You heard papers, you had rustling of papers. How is that a defense? Yeah, you know the thing about classified documents, the most highly classified sensitive documents that the US government has that is very similar to any other paper is that it rustles. They're very similar in that way. When you rub them together, they make similar noises. And no one said that I did anything wrong. He really does find that to be a very convincing defense. And I know that because this is at least the third time that he's rolled it out. He said the same thing about his phone call with Zelensky, and he said the same thing about his phone call with Raffensperger in Georgia, which he's also gonna be investigated for. They're actually going to talk to Raffensperger in the very near future. The issue with that is, when has the standard ever been that unless everyone on the call or the tape shouts out, hey, that's a crime you're doing, that it's fine? Like seriously, so if they had a Hunter Biden phone call where Hunter Biden's like, hey dude, Ukrainian government official, dude, I wants me the $5 million so the big man can get his cut. And then the Ukrainian government dude's like, sweet, let's do that. Here's your bribe. I guess nobody said they had a problem with it on the call, so I guess that's fine. Look, I'm being sarcastic, but if you're a conservative listening to this, would that be fine by you if you heard Biden on a call and nobody was raising any concerns with the illegal things that he was saying? Then we don't have an issue anymore? Seriously, every one of those things was said as if it was a defense. And I'm not even trying to make the case that this isn't gonna help him in court. I think that's self-evident. I don't even understand how this is supposed to reassure his base, yes.
Yeah, I was actually wondering about that same point that you brought up where he was like, oh, nobody said that I did anything wrong. It's like, what is he referring to? Like, is he actually talking about on that specific recording, nobody was like, hey, this is wrong. You can't be doing this. Don't show me these class. Mm-hmm. If I was in the room, I think it would be very hard for me to be like, don't show me these classified documents. I think even I would be tempted to be like, yeah, let me see all the stuff, you know? I think it takes a very big person to say, outwardly, out loud while it's happening, like, hey, this is wrong. Most people don't operate that way, and he knows that. He knows it's a silly defense, but he's kind of just throwing everything that he has out into the public right now, because a lot of this stuff has already been admitted into courts and will be used in courts.
Yeah.
Kind of have to think about how we even have these recordings in the first place. Jack Smith knew what he was talking about on the recordings. He knew which documents he was referring to. I'm sure there are witnesses who have testified. We don't have access to all of what went down in court whenever Trump was indicted, but I'm gonna assume that they know a lot more about these recordings than we, the public, still don't know.
I think that's a safe expectation to make. I would also throw out, though, that while I agree with you about, you know, most people don't instantly say, hey, I feel like you're breaking the law right now. I agree with that. Let's also bear in mind, one of the people in the room did say, we have a problem here.
Oh.
Someone did say, like, your defense is nobody raised concerns. She raised concerns.
It was, like, yeah, you're right.
Again, you fail even by your ridiculous standards. But as embarrassing as all that is, it gets kind of worse. We're gonna get into his other excuses, but first, he is trying to message around this, and not just in interviews. He's been bleeding left and right. I am being indicted for you, he shouts. Again, I don't think most MAGA people have stolen classified documents. I think that was just Trump, just the big guy. But he's really throwing everything against the wall, trying to see what will stick. He bleated this. You may know if you find this to be reassuring right now. President Joe Biden and every living president, except Donald Trump, are direct descendants of slaveholders, Jimmy Carter, George Bush, Bill Clinton, and through his white mother's side, Barack Obama. Reuters. I hope that every African American in our country is reading this right now. Remember. So it doesn't matter what he does. They're all descended from slave owners. It kind of seems to run against the whole thing that conservatives say, which is, how could you possibly judge us based on what happened 100 years ago? You seem to want to, Trump. Also, I want every African American in the country to remember that on his white mother's side, Barack Obama is descended from slaveholders. So Barack Obama, ergo ipso facto, is racist. It's a wonder that he has so much trouble among certain voting demographics. But anyway, all of that is just fun and games. We need to get to the serious stuff, which is we're back to the part of the news cycle where he is implying, or I would say encouraging, harassment and possibly violence against people who are daring to investigate him. So he bleats in all caps, could somebody please explain to the deranged Trump-hating Jack Smith, his family and his friends, that as president of the United States, I come under blah, 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 lots of lies that have been debunked. I don't care about the stuff about the Sox case. It's irrelevant. It's not a defense. It's not gonna work in court. The important point is he is saying, I want you to explain to him, his family and his friends.
Yeah.
What game are we playing, Yaz? That's not an implication that he wants people to go harass everyone who's tangentially related to Jack Smith, that if like somebody goes and murders his cousin or something, that has nothing to do with this. How dare someone imply that? It'd be very impolite if you were to say that he was encouraging violence when he's once again talking about the family and friends of people investigating him. Like, I'm so sick of this, Yaz.
I mean, that's the thing that we keep doing, right? We keep excusing his rhetoric and the things that he says and the things that he does. And we keep saying, well, he didn't explicitly say this or that. Everyone with any kind of common sense can read between lines and know that the way that you say something has an impact on the message that is ultimately delivered, right? Everybody knows this. It's just very hard to prove that in court. But as far as, you know, functionally, you know, a lot of these pundits on Fox News and Newsmax and things like that, they can deny all kinds of things all day long. And then their base will hear those denials and not realize that they're actually falling for all the things that Trump is wanting them to fall for. He's saying something in one way in their minds. He's not saying that, but they're still acting based on what they interpreted from that message. So it is very dangerous. It is exhausting. And it's really kind of disappointing that people haven't picked up, more people, I should say, haven't picked up on what's happening and what he's doing. Whether or not it's intentional or unintentional kind of doesn't matter, because it's what's happening.
Yeah, we have to remember that for many of these people, it's not just that they were failed by the American education system and they have been encouraged ever since to never exercise critical thought. And so they're very easy to con. It's partially that, but it's not just that.
Context clues, man. People,
what's that?
It's like context clues. Those will get you every time.
Yeah, it's also that. It's not that his base believes things that are wrong. They do, but that's not really the important part. It's that they just want to believe things. They are a ball of anxieties and fears and desires, and that's it. And so everything is just what they want to believe. It doesn't need to be convincing because like you could be a really bad car salesman, but if somebody is like just dying to have this car, it doesn't matter if you fumble the pitch. They want it really bad. And so that's what we're seeing here. And I want to demonstrate that principle with his next defense. Donald Trump, perhaps not surprisingly, is fumbling in his effort to explain away the leaked audio tape that shows him clearly showing a classified document that he knows is classified to another person. Here is his explanation for that he gave to Semaphore and ABC News. I would say it was bravado, if you want to know the truth. It was bravado. I was talking and just holding up papers and talking about them, but I had no documents. I didn't have any documents. I just held up a whole pile of, my desk is loaded up with papers. I have papers from 25 different things. Adding that he kept relevant news articles about topics like Iran on hand. Okay. Actually gets more ridiculous and cartoonish and implausible from here. But what he would have you believe is, I didn't have the documents that I was saying, the specific document that I held up. I didn't have that. I was just holding up articles and I was lying to impress this woman. That's his defense, that I am so desperate for random people to think that I'm impressive that I lie to them. And the issue is that many, many right wingers are going to readily accept that. And on some level, I understand that because he is a massive liar and he definitely is desperate for people to like him. But look at how ready not just regular conservatives are to believe that, but they're sort of avatars in the media. Here's Newsmax.
Former president.
And just to make clear,
I could say this is a classified document, doesn't make it true. You know how Trump is. We don't know. We don't know if it's if what
we can even assume.
Okay, so really fast, that's Newsmax. Newsmax trying every day to prove to right wingers and to Trump that they love him more than Fox News does. And their defense of him is he plausibly just lies about classified documents constantly. You know how Trump is, she says. You know how he is. He lies all the time. That is what his defender in the media is saying. And I hope, I dearly hope that for every one of you, that seems weird. You have politicians that you respect, that you support. Can you imagine, like I liked Bernie Sanders. I thought he was great. Can you imagine if I were just routinely like, you know, Bernie, he lies constantly. What the hell are you talking about? Why do you support him if you know how he is? He's a goddamn liar. He's a con man. He's a grifter. So, you know, cut him some slack. No, more oversight, I think, is merited. If you believe that he's this massive liar, I've never seen anything like that from a person that purportedly supports another person, yes.
John, look, okay, I'm no astrologer and I'm about to lose all of my credibility with this comment, but Trump is just a Gemini, right? He's just being a true Gemini. He's just, you know, exaggerating and hyperbolizing and sensationalizing and lying because, you know, it's just a better story. That's just what he does, obviously, John. I'm kidding. I am kidding.
I don't know. Is that actually how Geminis are thought of? I did not know that.
I think it's part of it. Yeah. So okay. I don't know. No offense to Geminis out there. I'm just playing. But yeah, but it is kind of interesting because that is how we think about him. That's how we think about him, I should say. It's interesting that they also think of him that same way. And it's like what you were saying, it should be very concerning that that is a character trait that you just accept about this person who you support politically, not just politically, but in the highest office really in the world. It should be a problem, it is a problem, and it's not an excuse, not the way that they're trying to play it like it is.
Not at all, but as I said,
Yeah.
I do not believe that I was overselling this. It gets more embarrassing because there's a follow-up question from Fox News. Asked about his use of the word plans during the meeting, Trump insisted he was referring to, quote, building plans and plans for golf courses strewn about his desk. Did I use the word plans? What I was referring to is magazines, newspapers, plans of buildings. I had plans of buildings, you know, building plans. I had plans of a golf course. What game are we playing? I know I keep saying that, but what game are we playing at this point? The tape is him saying, look at this. This is the Iran thing. The military gave it to me. Look at Millie's cooked. Millie's goose is cooked thanks to this delightful condo plan. What are you talking about? I often ask MAGA people in the comments to write in, but I am begging you to write in now. I want you to say that you buy that. That what he was holding up was building plans. I want you to say with a straight chat face that you believe that excuse. That is, look, in politics, you get condescended to constantly, but that is the most cynical, condescending, embarrassing defense that I have literally ever seen a politician come up with in my life, that he was talking about plans for a golf course. Any final thoughts, Yaz?
The man has plans. For once in his entire political career, the man has plans and he wants you to know that he has plans, Sean. That's it.
Mm-hmm. It's infrastructure week, baby. I got plans on plans on plans.
He's got plans. Good. Noted. Noted. We'll keep that in mind going into the 2024 election.
Yeah. By the way, in case some of you think, okay, this is all laughable, but this could be convincing to a jury, I want to reassure you that this is not going to be convincing to a jury. But much more importantly than that, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant because him having that plan or not, actually, weirdly, and this bothered me before, has nothing to do with the charges against him. I just want to reassure to you, the Iran memo, that's not among any of the records that are involved in the actual indictments that he's facing. So they're going to use that tape to get to his state of mind, his knowledge about the classification process. Their case is not relying on that having been an Iran invasion plan rather than like the layout of a cabana. That actually doesn't matter at all. And also, if it's not already clear, Jack Smith was not gonna use that tape and submit it into evidence having not talked to anyone else that was in the room, who I am sure, under pain of potentially going to jail, were very clear that he was not holding up blueprints, he was holding up a classified document. Extreme heat warnings remain in effect across a significant portion of the United States, from Midland, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee, affecting over 100 million people. We are in extreme times. It has already claimed lives, and this is a tragedy today, but also a look ahead to the world that we are building. Not me necessarily, not you necessarily. Unfortunately, we're not in control. But those with control, particularly political control, economic control, they are creating this where these heat domes, that's basically what is affecting the southern United States as well as Mexico right now, gonna become more and more common. Projected heat indexes of up to 120 degrees in Dallas, New Orleans, Baton Rouge. And like I said, people have died already. In fact, just I believe yesterday, it was reported that a teen and his stepfather died on a hike in Texas because of the record heat. That is unbelievable, devastating. Now look, people die from the heat every year. That's definitely true, but it is getting worse. Emergency rooms are filling up from people being affected by this. And I will remind you of a recent piece of news also in Texas that was just as we launch into this heat dome, this fatal, lethal heat dome, That's when Governor Abbott, Greg Abbott of Texas, ended local rules, or basically allowed for the ending of local rules requiring water breaks for workers. So if and when workers literally drop dead in the streets, Republicans of Texas have already given support to it. And I want to run you through how bad it is in some areas. Way back on Saturday, temperatures already were exceeding 100 degrees in Austin, San Antonio. Houston was just under 100 degrees at that point. San Angelo in West Texas registered 114 degrees twice in June. That's the highest ever recorded there. The border town of Del Rio hit 115 degrees. The Big Bend area of Southwest Texas reached 119 degrees, just 1 degree off of their all-time high of 120 recorded back in 1994. And while this is going on, Texas obviously is recording records for energy use. There is, thankfully, sort of a savior in this time where they need energy more than ever before. And it's about as ironic a savior as possible. We will talk about that in just a minute. But yeah, as you're in Texas right now, how bad is it? Are you on fire?
It is actually pretty bad. So I was in the UK for a few weeks, and that's when all of this heat wave was really starting up. And when I got home at the airport, it was like 7 p.m. and it was already like 90 something degrees. So it is pretty hot. And also people have to keep in mind, this is only June. It's gonna get hotter the rest of the year. Usually our really hot months are like July, August, but really even going into September, now even going into October, November, like it's really hard to get a break from this heat. And on top of that, with heat often comes a lot of severe weather for a lot of reasons scientifically that I am not at liberty to explain to people, but it's true. And we have been seeing a lot more severe weather in these parts as well. I'm really not looking forward to this hurricane season. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. Not only that, but not just how bad it will be, but also how long it's going to last. So there's a lot of repercussions to this kind of heat. And I know we're going to talk a little bit more about energy, so I'll pass it back to you before I go on.
I understood what you meant, but I love the way you worded it, that you're not at liberty to explain it. It sounds like you know, but you won't tell us.
I also heard that and I was like, I'm not a scientist. I'm not a meteorologist, so I'm not gonna go into the details. But it is kind of weird because there's a kind of heat. It's like a different kind of heat. I don't really know how to explain it, but it's like a very stagnant, stale heat that will kind of settle over the day. And those days you tend to get a really, really bad storm that night. It's like all the pressure, I don't know, but.
Well, the heat dome is a high pressure area basically, like that is definitely true. But yeah, it is absolutely devastating. And yeah, it's just gonna claim lives. People who are not gonna have AC, we're gonna see a bunch of people die. This year, we did last year, the year before, all of this is obviously predictable. All of this is avoidable. It's not gonna be avoided. Why aren't more people asking why? Why is it that in a country as rich as the United States, we routinely let people die from the heat, from the cold, and barely even talk about it? Why is that? We spend nearly $1 trillion on defense every year. This sort of news is a reminder that like AK-47s wielded by the Taliban are not the only thing potentially taking American lives. Why is it that we have money for that, but not money for this? Anyway, as I said, a lot of energy needing to be used in these times of great heat, not just in Texas, but across the southern United States. But thankfully, in Texas, they're doing okay, or at least they were as of this morning, thanks to solar power, where they're generating more and more than they did in the past from solar. The amount of solar energy generated in Texas has doubled since the start of last year, and it's set to roughly double again by the end of next year. Already the state rivals California in how much power it gets from commercial solar farms, which are sprouting across Texas at a rapid pace, from the baked dry ranches of West Texas to the booming suburbs southwest of Houston. Already about 7% of the electric power used in Texas has come from solar, 31% by the way from wind. Now I report this like a weirdo as good news. Thank God they have the ability to generate clean energy that allows people to keep their AC on so they don't needlessly die during this heat dome. I have no doubt that that news, 7% of electric from solar, 31 from wind, is being greeted by many politicians in Texas as apocalyptic news. The idea that it's gonna double again next year, they see that not as an amazing advancement, America racing ahead to the future when it comes to energy production, but instead a threat to oil profits. Guarantee that is what they are talking about right now. As people are dropping dead from the heat, they're thinking about how they can burden renewable energy with more regulations, how they can raise the cost of it, how they can make it more difficult for people to install it on their own. They see this amazing, miraculous advancement as its own catastrophe. What a sick system.
Yeah.
Yes, thoughts?
Yeah. Oh God, so many thoughts. I have solar panels on my house and they're great. And I remember when we were getting them installed, there was a tax incentive to do so. And I remember thinking at the time, I wonder how long that's gonna last, right? Before the state kind of comes in and says, no more of this. And you know, I don't mean to make this all about Texas, but Texas is a unique case, even when we're talking about heat across the entire south of the United States, because we're on our own electric grid and we've seen what happens when that fails in the past. Other states are able to pull energy from other states whenever they're overburdening their own grids. We are not, right? So whatever happens in Texas kind of stays in Texas in the worst possible way in this particular scenario. And we're so dependent on oil and gas as a matter of policy, right? Where everybody here has to drive a car. We have freeways everywhere. You know, walkable cities are considered socialist here. You know, so it is really bad. People really, they are pushing oil and gas on us, and they will continue to do so because that is how we make our money here in the state. Not just that, but that's also how we derive a lot of our, you know, bargaining power with the United States, right? The United States for a while was oil dependent or oil independent, and that was because of what was going on here in Texas. So it's a way of life down here. It's not surprising at all that they are worried about the proliferation of wind and solar energy. It is bad though, and it makes no sense to anyone, you know, who isn't profiting directly off of these industries.
Exactly. Yeah, regular Texans, the vast majority of whom are not profiting. Unfortunately, they're electing representatives who are. People like Representative Jared Patterson, who this is 7 days ago, right on the verge of this heat dome where people are, their lives are going to be saved by renewable energy, tweets out, "Wind power was the biggest infrastructure mistake in Texas history. It's so hot and wind blows great from around midnight to 4 a.m. But when we need power the most, wind produces the least hot Texas afternoons. I always felt differently about solar, though the subsidies are outrageous." Subsidies are outrageous when they're given to industries that are still starting off and need it. Subsidies should really be reserved for the most profitable industries that have been around for decades and decades and decades. I've always felt that. Dead wrong. It is helping. It's generating a ton of energy during this time. So Jared Patterson doesn't know literally what he's talking about, except what do you think you will find if you look into the donors to Representative Jared Patterson? Where do you think he's getting some of his funding? So if they successfully cut efficiency standards, if they successfully burden these industries with more regulation, and by the way, they are proposing bills to do that, then what is going to happen the next time one of these heat waves comes? They could be at 14% wind. They could be at 20% in a couple of years. They might not be, and not because they can't, not because the industry isn't there, not because the technology's not advanced enough, but because that might cut into oil company profits.
Yeah, and I mean, to your question, what's gonna happen? They don't care what's gonna happen. People are gonna die and they won't care, because in the past when things like that have happened, they did not care. They didn't do anything about it, and they weren't moved to, you know, do any kind of meaningful legislation or even just any meaningful suggestions to a lot of these oil and gas companies on how to, you know, make things better for average Texans, right? During the polar vortex, where a lot of Texans were freezing and then they died for different reasons than what we're dealing with now, Governor Greg Abbott went on Fox News and he blamed it all on the windmills, and he said that they're ineffective and he said that they're no good. Really, what happened was they failed to winterize those windmills, right? And he made it up, he left it up to the operators to do so at their own expense. So there was no kind of state legislation that says we have to keep up with these standards, we have to make sure everything is safe and running effectively. Instead, he just said they don't work, even though, you know, Nordic countries and Scandinavian countries do a lot of their, get a lot of their energy from wind power.
Yeah.
He didn't mention any of that. So.
100%.
It's all very triggering, John. It's all a big, big problem.
I know. He's been bought in the same way that the representatives have. To the point whenever they're like, it just blows during certain times, I think, you know what, I'm not a scientist or whatever, but you know what they should invent? They should invent a way to take energy and store it. If somebody comes up with that, that's gonna be worth a lot of money, I think. Anyway, with that said, why don't we move to other news? We'll jump ahead to this video whenever we're ready.
Do you believe that Trump violated the peaceful transfer of power, a key principle that of American democracy that we must uphold?
I can point you to Tallahassee, Florida on, I believe, January 5th, 2023. We had a transition of power from my first administration to my second because I won re-election in a historic fashion. And at the end of the day, you know, we need to win and we need to get this done. So I wasn't anywhere near Washington that day. I have nothing to do with what happened that day. Obviously, I didn't enjoy seeing, you know, what would happen. But we've got to go forward on this stuff. We cannot be looking backwards and be mired in the past.
You weak little baby. Ron DeSantis teed up with an easy softball question that would allow him to differentiate himself from Donald Trump, something that he desperately needs to do as he falls further and further behind in polls. And instead, he gives that a little, hey, I won in Florida or whatever. Yeah, is that helping you in the polls? The fact that you won in Florida, is that saving your candidacy? No, you need to differentiate yourself. You need to take out Trump if you want to have any chance, and he just doesn't have it. He says these weaselly little weenie lines to imply that he's above the questions that are being asked while proving how good the questions are at the same time. He says, we need to not be mired in the past. We need to move forward. You know what being mired in the past looks like to me? Being so terrified of criticizing Donald Trump over January 6th that you won't do it at all. He is still very much mired in the past. The future would be to move on from Trump, to not feel like, oh God, we all have to bow down to him constantly. That is what being mired in the Trumpy past is like. And then to say things like, you know, I didn't like seeing what happened. Yeah, what did you not like about it? What did you not like about it? Because you won't say that it violated the peaceful transfer of power. What, did you not like the violence? Did you not like the massive disrespect? Did you not like seeing so many Republicans turning against democracy? Why don't you be specific about the things that you didn't like? No, this is triangulated politician doublespeak. It's, I'm gonna say something so that I can imply, I guess, that I criticized it, but I'm not gonna criticize the people who did it. I'm not gonna criticize those who inspired them to do it. I'm gonna weasel out of any responsibility whatsoever just to save myself. It's just pathetic. And look, obviously, Yaz, he's not trying to get me to vote for him. He's trying to get conservatives to vote for him. But if you're a conservative, why are you gonna choose what you just saw over Trump?
Yeah, he really doesn't make a strong case for himself, especially when you look at the people who voted for Trump and you examine the reasons why they voted for Trump. They see him as a very strong figure, right? He says what he wants, he does what he wants. He doesn't care what anybody else thinks of him, even if those if the things that he's saying and doing are unpopular or would, you know, seemingly be unpopular. What DeSantis is doing here is he's trying to not alienate the Trump base while also trying to push the party away from Trump and saying, I'm an alternative to Trump. And predictably, he's having a very hard time doing that. So I don't know how long he's gonna be able to keep this strategy going before he has to kind of, you know, reassess and realign a few things. But I don't know if he's gonna do that either. I think he's gonna keep going with what he's doing because I think he thinks that he's more intelligent and he can pull it off.
Maybe. Look, that's entirely possible.
Yeah.
And I can understand why he would be willing to buy that as a strategy. And by that I mean not genuinely, like with critical thinking, think that that's a good strategy. But you would take a strategy like that if it gives you some other benefit that perhaps is not spoken, which might be not having to actually go toe to toe with Trump. Like believing, oh, I'm just gonna sort of like, I'm just gonna be here huddled in the corner. And if something happens to Trump, then I can stand up and be the big man, you know? No. No, you're not gonna be the big man. You're gonna be huddling in the corner as he hopefully loses to Biden in 2024.
He can be the big man if he has his white boots. Remember those?
That would help him a little bit.
That's how he's the big man, yeah.
Yeah, he's gonna be huddling on his heels in the corner. We'll see how that works out for you. What news is gonna come out that's gonna take down Trump? A person needs to take him out. And DeSantis, maybe I'm not giving him enough credit for, at least with his behavior, making clear that he understands, as I understand, and I think you understand, that he's not that person. But he's still running. He's pretending that he's that person, and he's just gonna get embarrassed. Okay, everybody, we got a couple more stories to launch into. I did wanna remind people though, if you're not already following The Damage Report at tiktok.com/@TheDamageReport, just search The Damage Report on TikTok. We put up original content. Particularly, we have a lot of fun every Friday putting out our reaction to the community garbage people of the week. We've been doing that for months now, a lot of fun. I am also on TikTok at John Iderola. And I believe I'm actually gonna be doing a video of my predictions for Money in the Bank, which either means something to you or it doesn't. But anyway, I'm gonna be putting those up. Anyway, with that said, why don't we have a little bit more fun and jump into this?
Never in history has the position of vice president been more important than it is now. Should Biden be elected, he'll be 82 at the time he's sworn in. She is literally a heartbeat away from the presidency. She has an office with a toxic work environment. People are fighting with each other to get to the exit door. This is a woman who was in a position to make it easy for other women behind her to come forward and do the job, where Americans could say, you know, a woman is capable of doing this. If anything, she has established the precedent that a woman is incapable of being vice president.
Look, I'm tempted to say, why would that be the takeaway from Jeanine Pirro? And yet, why wouldn't that be the takeaway from Jeanine Pirro? Why wouldn't she? Even if she believes everything she's saying, even if she thinks that Kamala Harris is a terrible vice president, why wouldn't she use that as an opportunity to say that in the future, people should be incredibly hesitant about allowing a woman to become vice president? Even if, as I'll get to in a minute, it feels a little bit obviously self-destructive. Maybe it's not obvious, I'll explain what I mean. But Yaz, you are notably a woman. So what do you make of her using this as an opportunity to say, if Kamala Harris can't do it, maybe no woman can?
It's quite a leap. It's quite a leap indeed. I don't really understand how she got there or why she got there. But I mean, there's a lot of reasons to be disappointed with the Kamala Harris vice presidency. I don't know how much of that is her fault. I don't really know what's going on with this administration as far as the role of the vice presidency goes. But you know, a lot of people had a lot of mixed feelings about Kamala Harris before she was nominated for the vice president position. So there's a lot of reasons, like I said, that she either, why people wouldn't like her or why people would have issues with her vice presidency. I don't know how many of those reasons are the fact that she's a woman. And if they are, then I think that that says a lot more about the person than it does about Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I don't look, I obviously am not a massive fan of Kamala Harris, and I can't necessarily point to stuff that she's done that seems to have been well thought out. But also, can we put this in the the proper context? What vice president has mattered? She's the first woman, but okay. Let's talk about the others, which are men. Who cares
Dick
about
Cheney.
Literally any of them? Dick Cheney, yeah. I mean, I guess he did matter, but was he good? Like, who has cared about literally any of these people? Like, Kamala Harris is not doing a good job, but is it really out of the mainstream for vice presidents? She's largely irrelevant. She pops up every once in a while, probably does some sort of like faux pas or something. I feel like that's kind of what vice presidents do. But also, I do want to throw this out here and get your thoughts. She is going there and implying that women probably can't do it. We are like 6 months away from Donald Trump choosing Carrie Lake as his VP, or maybe Marjorie Greene, but it's probably gonna be one of those. And like, they're gonna have to backtrack on this. So why needlessly make it more difficult for you? And can we also point out that the last vice president that was chosen by a much better president in Donald Trump, he tried to have murdered. I feel like that's a more significant bit of news when it comes to vice presidents than just that Kamala Harris doesn't necessarily have it.
Yeah, the vice presidency in general is kind of an interesting role in American politics, because some vice presidents take a much more public role and other ones really do just have a very reclusive role almost. And with Kamala Harris, I think we've seen, you know, the extent of that, you know, what that can mean, because I think people, including myself, kind of just forget that she's there, forget that she is an active member of our national government. Like you said, it's hard for me to point at something that she's done that was actually meaningful as far as policy or anything like that. Anything, whenever I think of her, I think of things that she said in the public that I was like, oh, that was weird that you said that, you know. But maybe that's part of it. Maybe she's doing more behind the scenes. We don't know. But Jeanine Pirro making this a women's issue is kind of interesting, because I think what it speaks to is, in general, Fox News and really the conservative right in this country in general, they are very regressive. They're very obstructionist whenever it comes to a lot of ideas. How much longer are they going to be able to continue doing that before the whole country really is moving on without them? Regardless of what they say, they're going to be in the minority, and they're going to have to keep fighting harder and harder and harder to push these really unpopular ideas on a public that has just moved on past them. This isn't really thinking long term, and this isn't a sustainable strategy for them.
Yeah. No, it definitely is. It seems like a problem. You know, they're trying to win over some, you know, like I would say younger conservatives, younger meaning that they are 18, but they look and act 40. They're trying to win over some of them with transphobia and misogyny and all that. And look, they're using the tactics that they have. One of those main tactics is getting women to attack other women, getting women to imply that women shouldn't be in the positions that they are currently holding as they say it. That's one of the strategies they use. It's also good career advice. If you are a woman, you'd like to make some money, have you considered hating women? Because there might be a career in media for you. It's difficult, you know, it takes, I think, a psychic toll on you. And people deal with that in different ways. Some people can't actually spread the message until there are two bottles of Pinot Noir in. But you can make a lot of money. You can get a platform for yourself with that. Anyway, with that said, why don't we end the hour with some news? We're gonna talk about something we basically never talk about. I don't know why this isn't like the biggest story in the country right now. There is a beach right now in Panama City where 7 people have died in the last 9 days. And things are just proceeding as if that's not the craziest thing in the world. This is basically a situation of rip currents, which are scary in the best of times and do frequently result in people dying. But rarely have they created such like Bermuda Triangle-like area of beach. So let's talk about it. There are now pleas for people to take these the warnings, the cautions that have been given seriously. 3 swimming deaths in 1 day last Saturday. It is now the deadliest beach in America. Thank God that's the deadliest, with 7 people dying in 9 days. The 3 people who died just in that day include a 39-year-old woman from Georgia, a 63-year-old man from Georgia, and a 68-year-old man from Michigan. 6 of the 7 deaths, by the way, occurred under double red flags, the highest level of caution in the beach flag warning system. And basically, there are these currents of water that moves super fast and can be very difficult to get out of. The general advice that is given is for people to not try to fight it and swim back to the shore, where you can quickly exhaust yourself, even if you're an amazing swimmer, but instead to swim parallel to the shore until you eventually break out of the rip current and can return. But that is very difficult. It's particularly difficult advice to remember when you're caught in a rip current and you're worried about drowning. That said, like, they're now talking about maybe upping fines for people who enter the water when the warnings are at that red flag level. But yes, I just, like, 2 people died, and that day people still streamed into the water. 6 people died in a week, slightly more, and people still streamed in for more people to die. Mm-hmm. I don't understand, like, the beach is fun or whatever, but I do not understand this story at all. What do you make of it?
I mean, you're not gonna understand it, right? If you see those red warning flags up there and you still decide to get into the water, I think that says a lot about the person, not just the person, but I think a lot of people are afraid to overreact in a lot of situations, right? Especially if you're coming from Michigan and you have this beach vacation that you planned out. No, I'm getting in that water. You know, I want to go. It doesn't make any sense. To most people, it doesn't make any sense. It's good that this is getting national coverage now, though, so that more people will be like, oh, this is a real problem. These are real threats, especially if you don't live near the beach all the time. You might not realize how bad something like a rip current could be. We need to educate more. You know, people, the more people know, the more they can be prepared. The more they can, you know, better assess risks whenever they're faced with them, instead of just being like, it's not a big deal. It's like, yeah. It just reminds me of people whenever they come to visit Texas and there's like a tornado watch or warning, and then like they react very differently from how the locals would react. Sometimes you don't know how That's to true. Respond to certain things.
Yeah, 100%. No, I think that you're totally right. And actually, I think, like, in particular, I think the world has been constructed in such a way that we are losing our ability to understand that the real world still exists.
Yeah.
Like, it's like people who get lost going hiking and just believe, I have GPS in my pocket, I'll be fine, not knowing that it's not necessarily gonna work. You might not have signal where you go. Like, people are now dying just from interacting with the real world because we believe that everything is technology, everything is civilization. I'll be saved, whatever it is. But no, when you get out into the ocean, civilization is done. You are now in the wild. When you go hiking and you go off the trail, you fall off the trail, that's it for civilization and most of society in a lot of cases. And I think that, I don't know how we train people, remind people that the real world exists, but people are dying. It's a tragedy. I'm not like making fun of these people. Like, I know that they felt desperate. They'd gone that far to get to this beach. It is devastating that so many people would die in such a period, but that more people would wanna go out just shows a lack of respect for the threats that remain in the real world. Anyway, that is unfortunately all the time we have for the first hour of the show. Thank you for joining us if you're on the linear platforms or the podcast, but there's a lot more to come in the aftermath, so don't go anywhere. Yaz and I will be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.